Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Monday, April 8th. On today's show, Wall Street CEOs face the challenge of keeping both of their jobs this spring, while the finance minister aims to accelerate growth by focusing investments on redefined growth-enabling sectors. Plus, Kirkland & Ellis hires a second Allen & Overy finance partner in London. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a look at Wall Street this spring, where top bosses at Goldman Sachs, BlackRock, and Bank of America are facing investor pressure over their dual roles as CEO and chairman. Shareholders have proposed splitting these roles, currently held by David Solomon, Larry Fink, and Brian Moynihan, respectively, in an attempt to add more independent oversight to the firm's boards of directors. Here to discuss this further is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you explain why these proposals are being made?
Certainly, David. Proxy advisors who recommend how large shareholders should vote typically prefer the CEO and board chair roles to be held by different individuals. This is to avoid perceived conflicts of interest. Recently, top proxy firms Glass Lewis and Institutional Shareholder Services recommended that Goldman and BofA separate their CEO chair roles. A UK activist fund is advocating for the same at BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager.
And how have the firms responded to these proposals?
In their annual meeting materials, Goldman, BlackRock, and BofA have urged investors to vote against the change. It's worth noting that these proposals are not new. They cycle in and out of fashion, and Wall Street has seen many similar ballot questions from shareholders, both large and small.
Can you give us some examples of these cycles?
Sure. Take Bank of America, for instance. Under shareholder pressure, it separated the CEO chair role in 2009. However, 5 years later, the roles were recombined for Moynihan. The bank is once again facing a shareholder proposal to separate Moynihan's roles, similar to a vote that failed in 2015. Last year, nearly 14% of S&P 500 companies received shareholder proposals to separate the CEO and chair roles, up from 6% in 2021.
What does research say about the impact of splitting these roles on company performance?
Stanford Graduate School of Business researchers, in a 2016 paper, noted that splitting the roles is not unambiguously positive for companies' performance. They tracked board changes at 100 of the largest and 100 of the smallest publicly traded companies over 20 years and found that a third of the companies separated the chair CEO roles and later combined them. Large companies were targeted much more often for shareholder proposals to split the jobs than small companies. This suggests that shareholders target companies for independent board leadership, not necessarily due to governance issues, but because they are the most visible public targets.
That's an interesting perspective from Michael, and we'll certainly be watching how these proposals play out. Shifting our focus to international finance, the federal government of Pakistan has identified sectors such as agriculture, small and medium-sized enterprises, and information technology as priority areas for bank financing to stimulate growth. Finance Minister Mohammad Aurangzeb has requested the Pakistan Banks Association to lead a task force to accelerate financing for these sectors. Here to discuss this further is Celeste, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about this initiative?
Certainly, David. The finance minister has advised the Pakistan Banks Association to devise strategies to overcome the existing challenges that are hindering the growth of these vital sectors. The government is also seeking to reduce reliance on bank financing and is focusing on developing equity and debt markets to fund infrastructure projects through public-private partnerships.
What are the implications of this shift in focus?
The finance minister aims to stimulate growth by focusing investments on these redefined growth-enabling sectors while exploring financing options apart from banks. However, Yusuf Nazar, the former head of Citigroup's Emerging Markets Investment, points out that there has been a massive redistribution of wealth from the public to the financial sector due to government borrowings and high interest rates.
What about the proposal for co-financing federal strategic projects?
Yes, a proposal was recently initiated for co-financing federal strategic projects by the center and the provinces, along with integrating provincial projects to create synergy among the provinces. However, on previous occasions, sub-federations opposed efforts by the PMLN and PTI governments to seek provincial finances for federal projects. Any such move would require necessary legislation.
How is the State Bank of Pakistan responding to this initiative?
State Bank of Pakistan Governor Jameel Ahmed has reiterated the central bank's commitment to facilitating an environment that will allow banks to increase lending to priority sectors. This is in line with the finance minister's initiative.
What are the current economic conditions in Pakistan?
The interest rate has turned positive by 1.3%, with inflation reading at 20.7 PC in March, falling below the policy rate of 22 PC. However, the trade deficit has simultaneously widened by 56 PC to $2.2 billion. Unstable security and exchange rates, as well as high inflation, are major concerns for operational Japanese companies in expanding their business in Pakistan.
What about the National Development Framework?
Under the National Development Framework draft being finalized, the Planning Commission will define strategic priorities by declaring certain sectors to be growth enablers, such as infrastructure, and focus only on investment in these sectors. The provinces will have autonomy to define their provincial development priorities. A national development outlay may be prepared, comprising the Federal Public Sector Development Program and provincial annual development plans.
What are the implications of this for the provinces?
The NDF draft proposes that provinces can find financial support from international donors and through provincial resources to support their development priorities. This stands in contrast with the government policy to reduce the foreign debt burden. However, Barrister Zamir Gumro points out that centralized economic planning is not mentioned in the Constitution. The Constitution only mentions provincial economic coordination under the National Economic Council.
What about the agriculture sector?
Prioritizing sectors like agriculture will help stimulate balanced growth if the evolved strategies are sound and effectively implemented. However, experts stress that Pakistan needs a paradigm shift towards improving workforce skills for a more productive, competitive, and sustainable agriculture sector. The move to step up corporate farming has revived the issue of allotting state lands to landless peasants. Leaders of the Sindh Hari Tehrik have strongly opposed handing over around 1.3 million acres of Sindh's land for corporate farming earmarked for foreign and domestic investors.
Thanks for joining us, Celeste. Now shifting gears to another significant move in the finance sector, Kirkland & Ellis has hired a finance partner from Allen & Overy. Vanessa Hsu, a sponsor-facing leveraged finance partner, has been with the Magic Circle law firm for over 17 years. She made partner in 2017. Here to discuss this further is Abby, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about this move?
Certainly, David. Vanessa Hsu is a well-respected figure in the finance sector. Her move to Kirkland & Ellis from Allen & Overy is significant. She has been with Allen & Overy for more than 17 years and became a partner in 2017. Her expertise lies in sponsor-facing leveraged finance.
And what does this mean for Kirkland & Ellis?
This is a strategic hire for Kirkland & Ellis. Vanessa Hsu's extensive experience and expertise in sponsor-facing leveraged finance will certainly be an asset to the firm. It's worth noting that this is the second time Kirkland & Ellis has hired a finance partner from Allen & Overy in London.
What about Allen & Overy? How might this departure impact them?
Allen & Overy is a Magic Circle law firm with a strong reputation, but losing a partner of Vanessa Hsu's caliber is certainly a blow. However, it's worth noting that Allen & Overy is scheduled to merge with Shearman & Sterling in May, which could bring about new opportunities and changes for the firm.
That's certainly something to watch. Thanks, Abby. Now shifting gears to international finance, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and China's Finance Minister Lan Fuan have concluded a meeting where they discuss the macroeconomic outlook and financial developments in the U.S. and China. However, no further details about the meeting have been reported. Bella, our correspondent for Simply Finance, is here to discuss this further. Can you shed some light on the significance of this meeting?
Certainly, David. This meeting between the U.S. Treasury Secretary and China's finance minister is significant, as it indicates ongoing dialogue between the two largest economies in the world. The discussions on macroeconomic outlook and financial developments suggest that both countries are keen on understanding each other's economic landscapes and financial strategies, which could potentially influence global economic trends.
What's next on the agenda for Secretary Yellen?
Secretary Yellen is scheduled to meet the People's Bank of China, PBOC, Governor Pan Gongsheng on Monday in Beijing. This meeting will likely continue the dialogue on financial and economic matters between the two nations.
And how has the market reacted to this meeting?
The market reaction has been relatively muted so far. For instance, the OUSD pair is showing little change, losing 0.12% on the day to trade at 0.6572 at the press time. However, it's important to note that market reactions can often be delayed, and we may see more significant movements once more details about the discussions become available.
That's a good point, Bella, and we'll certainly keep an eye on how this develops. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.